So we're in week 8 of our sermon series on emotionally healthy spirituality. And this week we're going to be talking about discovering the heart of God on a daily basis. And so one of the things that I want to talk to you about is what we can learn from the story in Daniel. But before we get to that passage in the love letter that God wrote to us, I want to give you some backstory so that you can hear the whole story, right? So Daniel was a prophet. He was also, the text says he was also young and handsome or good-looking, very wise. He was actually hand-selected from King Nebuchadnezzar and a few others to be pulled out of his culture and indoctrinated into the Babylonian culture. And which means this, they kind of gave him a full ride to Babylonian University, if you know what I'm saying. So they were trying to strip him away from the things that he was raised of and knew, and basically mold him to fit the mold of the Babylonians. And Daniel, the thing I like about Daniel is he was a little bit of a rebel. He would say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll do this, but I won't do that. And one of the scenes that we see prior to this text is a time when Daniel was given access to the king's buffet and all the king's food. And Daniel said, no, I'm not going to eat that stuff. I'm going to stick to our Jewish tradition and stick to the law, and I'm going to eat my way. And he got in trouble for it. Actually, he was going to be killed over it, and he had to make a deal with one of the guards and says, "You just give me 10 days, and after the end of 10 days, if I'm weaker, then I will eat from the king's buffet. But if I'm not, then you grant me the stuff, the diet that I choose." And so he did, and it turns out that his diet was way better than the king's diet. And so we see that rebellious nature. We call it rebellious, but it's really an enduring quality of just wanting to follow God's will for his life. And so we pick up in Daniel chapter 6 at verse 6, and we read through chapter 12, verse 10, one of those times when Daniel kind of rebels again. And the scripture reads this way: "So the presidents and satraps conspired and came to the king and said to him, 'O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever prays to anyone divine or human for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this interdict and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document and the interdict.' And although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in the upper room, open towards Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees 3 times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed. Daniel gives us this beautiful model of what we're called to do in the midst of facing a storm. And I believe we all have storms that we face in our lives, right? Some of the storms that we face in our lives have names like diagnosis, cancer, bankruptcy, divorce, on and on and on. You know what I'm saying, right? If you don't say amen. Okay. All right. Thank you. So we all have storms in life that we face, and Daniel was getting ready to face a pretty severe storm. He ends up getting thrown in a lion's den, and, well, you're going to have to read the Bible on your own to hear the rest of the story. Of course, you all know the rest of the story, right? He survived. He did not become kitty food, right? But we all face storms. It reminds me of the time my wife and I, who, well, she was 8 months pregnant, I think. 15 years ago, we were on our way to Philadelphia to visit the Italian side of the family. That's the loud side of the family. I'm just saying. And we were living in Columbus at the time, and we were on our way on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and we were going through the Allegheny Mountains, and it began to snow. Now, you know, we as drivers are used to seeing way ahead of us, right? But I'm telling you, this snow up in the mountains became almost hard to see. Almost our visibility was diminishing moment by moment. We ended up going from 3 lanes to 2 lanes to 1 lane. And before long, it was like whiteout conditions. And I was actually pulling the steering wheel closer to me. Well, actually, I was pulling me closer to the steering wheel. But I was squinting to see the semi that was in front of me. Now, my wife seems to think that we were only 5 inches away from the semi, but I assured her that we were clearly 5 feet away. And in that storm, I heard a still small voice. Anybody ever hear that still small voice before? This still small voice I heard was from my pregnant wife. She said, "Pull over now." It wasn't really still or small. But we pulled over, right? And in the morning after the snow had cleared, we had seen what we had avoided. Isn't that such as life? Is sometimes in the midst of life, we're so focused on trying to get to our destination that we will actually put ourselves in harm's way. And Daniel gives us an opportunity on how we are to face the storms, or how we are to respond to the storms in our life. You see, our prayer life can be like driving into a blizzard. We're used to being able to see in great distance, but sometimes in the midst of the storm, we can't even see the danger that is right in front of us. It's only after we've had time to pull off to see the dangers that we hopefully have avoided. Daniel offers this real life experience of what to do in the face of a storm. It's called prayer. He gets on his knees every day, 3 times a day, and he begins that holy conversation with God. He doesn't even care that his life is at stake. He doesn't even care that there has been a document signed that if caught, he could be crucified and killed. Because, you see, in his mind, his God is bigger than any document, right? And so he begins his day and ends his day on his knees. I love how E.M. Bounds puts it about prayer. He writes, and I quote, "Nothing distinguishes the children of God so clearly and so strongly as prayer. It is the one infallible mark and test of being a Christian. Christian people are prayerful, whereas opposed to worldly-minded people, they're prayerless. Christians call on God, worldlings ignore God and call not on his name. But even the Christian had need to cultivate continual prayer. Prayer must be habitual," he writes, and I continue quoting, "but much more than a habit. It is a duty, yet one which rises far above and goes beyond the ordinary implications of the term. It is the very expression of a relation to God, a yearning for divine communion. It's an outward and upward flow of an inward life toward its original fountain." It is an assertion of the soul's paternity, a claiming of the sonship which links man to eternal. Prayer. It's the stuff our lives are made of. It's the stuff that can hold us together when everything seems to be falling apart. And Scripture reminds us of the promises of a prayer life. Psalm 91:15 says, "He shall call upon me, we shall call upon him, and he will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us." Isaiah 65:24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before we even call on his name, God will answer. And while they are yet speaking, God will hear." And how about Matthew 7:7? "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened." The Scripture tells us that we are to pray for one another and also assures us that God hears us and answers us. I believe that a prayer life becomes the firm foundation against any storm in life. You see, when you receive Christ into your heart, you become a child of God and have the privilege of talking with God. You don't need anybody to talk to God on your behalf. You can go directly to him. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like having a reservation at a restaurant. We go in and we talk to the maitre d' who seats us. But guess what? With God, as Christians, we're already at the table. We can skip the maitre d'. Our prayer life is the firm foundation that withstands whatever the crashing waves are in the storms of life that come our way. And in the end, Jesus relied on prayer. In the end, it was his prayer life that sustained him all the way to the cross and to the resurrection. And therefore, our prayer life is an opportunity to remember who we are and whose we are, our Father who art in heaven. Amen? Now, there's going to be a pattern here where I'm going to say the piece of the prayer, and you're going to respond, amen. Okay? All right, I'll start over. Our prayer life, then, is an opportunity to remember who we are and whose we are, our Father who art in heaven. Amen? Our prayer life, then, is an opportunity to praise God. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. You're on to me. This is good. Our prayer life, then, is an opportunity to seek God's will for our life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Our prayer life, then, is an opportunity to seek victory for today. Give us today our daily bread. E.M. Bound writes about that moment, that particular passage. Now, he writes in a long chapter about that, and I'm going to sum it up in a few words. What he's saying is Jesus is teaching us to embrace the victory for today. In other words, we should be praying for our needs for today, not for tomorrow, not for 6 months from now, not from 5 years from now, that we are to be calling on the promise of God to deliver us victory for today, because victory for today is all we need for today, because tomorrow will come and there will be a whole new set of victories needed to be won in that day. Give us our daily bread. Amen. Our prayer life, then, is the opportunity to seek forgiveness and forgive us our trespasses. That didn't sound too convincing. Our prayer life, then, is an opportunity to seek forgiveness and forgive us our trespasses. better. Our prayer life then is an opportunity to offer forgiveness as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Amen.
Our prayer life then is an opportunity to seek direction and lead us not into temptation.
Amen.
Our prayer life then is an opportunity to be saved, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Our prayer life then is an opportunity to proclaim His majesty, for Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayer life then is this, an opportunity to proclaim His majesty, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Now, I could probably talk about prayer the rest of the morning because it's powerful and important. It sustains us. It's our way of communicating, but instead of talking about it, I'd say, let's do it.